Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The preacher and the teacher. Mustard and Johnson. It's Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network. Talk all things Sox, Pats, B's and C's. Right now with Mustard and Johnson on the WEEI Sports Radio Network at WEEI.com.
And it is Mustard and Johnson on another beautiful Saturday. The sun has been shining the last couple days. Great New England weather. But why Larry Johnson is
not metaphorically
you said, that is.
You said, that was it. What a downer that was. What a downer.
I am referring, of course, to the events of Thursday night, which did not go well for the Boston Bruins. Obvious hooking / slew footing. Never heard that term before. Tripping penalty.
Toe dragging, yes.
Yes.
But not slew footing.
Slew footing. Gone unnoticed by the officials, namely one of the best in the business, supposedly, Kelly Sutherland. Moments later, the Blues score.
I prefer Keith Sutherland.
Or Kiefer, even.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Sutherland.
Give me 24.
Yep. Not a call that has gone over very well for Bruins Nation and even around the National Hockey League. I don't care who you're rooting for, and I know there are a lot of people who are not rooting for the Bruins, not necessarily because of that particular team, but because it would be the 13th championship in Boston in the last, 15, 16 years since the Patriots first back in 02. So the nation is getting behind those upstart Blues who were in quest of their very first Stanley Cup championship, and they don't care. But around here, we felt robbed. I mean, that was an obvious call. I know that to watch a National Hockey League game, even watch an NBA game these days, you're going to see a lot of bad calls. You're going to see a lot of non-calls. And I know you have to move on. You have to forge on. You have to be resilient. You have to understand it's part of the game, the human element, yada, 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 yada. But it, boy, doesn't feel good for Bruins fans.
But
right now.
It was so obvious, though. There are some, like you said, there are calls, non-calls that you can... You just have to live with them. But this call was so obvious. I mean, his feet were just taken out from under him, and it was such a blatant call. You were just waiting for the ref's arm to go up and a penalty call.
Yeah, and Bruce Cassidy after the game, you might have seen it, not exactly in a state of euphoria.
Was there anything from the referees?
What was being said was you missed an effing call is what was being said on the bench for obvious reasons. But after that, we had to settle down and play. Listen, we thought we got screwed, but you got to keep playing. We did. We scored the next goal, gave ourselves a chance to win. You know, we tried to rally around that, but moving forward, there wasn't a whole lot of, you know, you're in the moment, of course you're upset. I think players, once they get back on the ice, they're not too concerned about that. So that's the way it finished. I thought we responded well.
All right, so
he's pretty honest, though. I think I really like him a lot. I think he's honest, and if you ask him a question, he's going to give you an answer.
Yeah, and you know, why wouldn't you be anything but honest? Wasn't afraid about getting fined or anything else. And the officiating throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs, great article this morning in the Globe, Matt Porter chronicles the various incendiary missed calls, non-calls, outrageous calls, egregious calls by NHL officials. It's a very difficult game to officiate. It is so fast. It is so violent. I can't imagine how they can do it and skate at the same time on the ice as they're going up and down the ice.
The worst problem, though, is the referee's the only one who can call a penalty, right?
Yeah, the linesman cannot.
Yeah, well, that's part of the problem.
Right, and they have two
out
there.
It's like having three NBA officials out there on the floor, and only one of them can call a foul.
Right, and there has been speculation and proposals that they actually take at least one official off the ice, put them in the stands, maybe like in a tennis thing. No, so you can see, you get a better view.
Put them in a hovercraft, you know, let them just float over the action.
Well, like it's like the head official in, what do they call, the head judge or whatever it is in tennis, that perched on.
The linesman?
No, the linesmen are on the court, but the guy that's at the center court.
The guy who sits in the perch,
And maybe something like that, because it is, I'm not making excuses. That was a horrible non-call. We certainly saw it in the National Football League. That took on national dimensions.
The New Orleans game. That was terrible.
But obviously, when you make a non-call as blatantly bad as what happened on Thursday, doesn't quite have the same repercussions.
You got to be
able
to hear from the truck, though, or the guys in New York or wherever, Toronto, wherever they are, and they said, hold it. You got to call a timeout. We got to review this because that you can't let that
penalties
go.
Are not reviewable. Just like in the National Football League, they weren't until they just in the offseason changed the rule. You can challenge a penalty call or a non-penalty call. For years, judgment calls were not challengeable in the National Football League. That's changed. Maybe they're going to have to do that in the NHL as well.
Here's the problem, and Dale said it at the very beginning of when the series started, that St. Louis just about mirrors the Bruins. They really do. Size-wise, speed-wise, skill-wise, they're a very good physical team. If it were not for the fact that they're playing against the Bruins, I like them. I like the physical play that they brought back into the league for the playoffs. But I think here was the difference. Tuukka Rask was the difference. He made all the difference in the world between Bennington. It was a little bit nervous at time, and Tuukka had the edge. However, when you got Bennington going out there stopping 38 of 39 shots, and he seems to have gathered his composure again, if the goaltending is similar, then it's anybody's game. And I think St. Louis is physically, I think that a couple of times physically, I think they just outplay the Bruins.
I think they've been outplaying them the whole series. Yeah, I think they're gun shy. I'm talking about the Bruins.
I do too. Yeah. I think they got hammered, and I think that they didn't want to play that kind of hockey. To me, when I was watching a game and St. Louis kept clobbering them, even in the first line for the Bruins, they didn't want to play that kind of hockey.
No. And neither did the Sharks. The Sharks had the more talent. Speaking of bad calls, the hand pass, they went up 2-1 in that series and never won another game. The Blues are a bruising bunch of retro players. And we've talked about, I kid you all the time, about being so Old Testament about how much you love violence in the NHL. And the Blues are just an old-fashioned, I'm going to hit you all over the ice hockey team.
They do.
And they take advantage of, they're not an explosive offensive team by any stretch, but they take advantage of their opportunities. I would say this.
Yeah, but they clobber the heck out of you.
As bad as that non-call was, you know, they did score a goal right after that.
They did.
That's why everybody's upset, obviously. And I'm telling you, you could easily say that Tuukka should have stopped that shot. Perrin's goal was a five-hole goal that got between the wickets and just kind of trickled in. That was an easily stoppable puck. If that puck doesn't go in the net, five hole through Tuukka, we're not talking about this right now. But it is a problem. I think it's a larger problem. It's difficult to officiate this game.
Bruins have had some horrible power plays also.
Well, wait a minute. The one game where they exploded, they had four power play goals. Okay. The problem is, and I think what happened with Berube was very good at complaining to the National Hockey League about how his team was always on the penalty kill, and they were calling way too many penalties on the Blues. Since then, it's become pretty much even as far as the penalties being meted out, and that helps the Blues because the Blues, 5-on-5, are a slightly better team than the Bruins.
Berube's missing a couple of cans out of a six pack. I mean,
I haven't heard that one before.
I mean, he was a former player,
and he's a bruiser.
Yeah, and he's
they're playing the game in his image, Larry.
Worst of all is when you have a guy like O'Reilly out there scoring against you. That makes it even worse.
Yeah, big guy. usually there for physical reasons, now putting the puck in the net.
It's been, I tell you this much, and I'm surprised by it, but it has been a really good series, whether you like it or not. I mean, I think the that last game, first of all, the damn game starts so late. You're sitting up there trying to stay awake to watch it.
Well, 8:15-ish, yeah, something like that.
You're
that's
retired,
not too late.
You're retired
8:15,
now.
That's not late.
You're retired. I'm talking about when you get to the third period.
Yeah, but at least it's over by 11 o'clock. The NBA doesn't start till about 9:15 as
terrible.
Well. That's even worse. The problem is they advertise it at 8 o'clock. They really don't drop the puck till about 8:12, 8:15, something like that. It is a long game, but it's the Stanley Cup playoffs. You don't get there, the finals, you don't get there too often. And the other issue, I think, is just the Bruins, as you said at the top, are flinching everywhere they go. Looking
they
over
like
the
it.
Shoulder, they don't like it. The Sharks had no appetite for it, and now the Bruins don't
I
either.
I thought they kind of left Chara off the hook a little bit. That is brutal to be out there with a broken jaw.
And he wasn't the same as we
he
saw.
He wasn't the
no.
same.
Right.
They hit him a couple of times, but, I mean, they could have really
well, the first time
he
took the aggressor's role at the beginning of the game, and even when he was applying the hit, he fell on his ass.
I saw that. That was
the
that,
other guy anticipated it, yeah. knocked him on his butt, and that was it. So they're a tough bunch. I still believe, I cannot believe that a team with Jordan Binnington as the goalkeeper is going to win the Stanley Cup. The Bruins, in spite of the fact...
Stop 38 or 39
right,
shots,
right.
Craig.
It is. I know it's... Maybe it's just wishful thinking. Maybe it's just looking at what the Bruins have done. They've been in this situation before, twice with Toronto. They were down 3-2 to Vancouver way back. Well, I know it's a different team, different players, different everything. But the Bruins have been behind before. They were down to the Blue Jackets. They were down to Toronto. They did it way back when in 2011, different group. Just because it's 3-2 does not mean this series is over.
You know what's interesting with hockey, though, of all the sports, that the home ice advantage doesn't seem
right.
to weigh that much in the outcome, really. I mean, once the game starts, they can have all the festivities and bring Brett Hull out early and all of that other stuff, but once the game starts, it's like... they're not fazed by it. Neither team is.
No. And when the Blues won game two, a lot of people felt, well, they have the momentum. They took the home ice away. And what happens in game three, the Bruins blow them right off the ice in St. Louis. Now the Blues have won the last couple. It has been a back and forth series until game number five. I don't believe that because the Blues won on the Bruins' home ice, that means that the Stanley Cup is signed, sealed, delivered. I think it's far from a guarantee. The Bruins are eminently capable. We saw them do it in Game 3. We've seen them do it on enemy ice. We saw when they went up to Toronto and got the job done in Game 6, brought it back to Boston for Game 7 and won that series in Round 1. It can happen as it did against Toronto. I know it's a different team. Toronto's a completely different team. They're a skating team. They're more of a finesse team, a scoring team. It's going to take a lot, but it's not impossible. Do you go into tomorrow night's game thinking
this
is over?
No, I don't think any. No, this is not. Anything's possible.
Right.
Get a stray rebound or whatever, or a five hole. Anything's possible. I just think what makes this such a major story is it was just so blatantly bad. I mean, and the referee was Sutherland was right there. I mean, I don't know. He claims he couldn't see. He didn't see it. How could he not see that?
Well, that's my point, though, there. Going back to maybe they need some sort of an official who can oversee the ice in a way that you get more of that bird's eye view that the guy in tennis does. Because it's impossible. You're skating backwards. You're skating forward. I know they're good skaters and they're good athletes. I'm talking about the officials. Yet it's impossible to see everything. And
see, maybe if you don't want to do it for the season, that's fine. But I think for the playoffs... you need to really take a closer look at that. Although Gary Bettman has been out to lunch for years, so if you're going to look for them to step up and do anything, to change things and make it better. I don't see it happening.
Although they did suspend a couple of officials in an earlier series.
Yeah.
I can't remember which series it was, where it was the Vegas series, where the I believe it was the Sharks got and a major got four goals in a penalty that should have been a minor. It was called a major instead. It was a cross check,
right?
And those officials got thrown out for the rest of the Stanley Cup playoffs. I don't know if Kelly Sutherland will suffer the same fate. I doubt he will, but I would be very careful if I were the NHL in putting him back in either Game 6 or Game 7. I can't see how that is going to go over well with Bruins fans or Bruins management or Bruins coaching staff or the players, for as a matter of fact. So, but I think the Bruins do have an opportunity. I know a lot of people have been complaining a little bit about the schedules altered. They're not playing the every other day,
right,
as we're used to with the Stanley Cup playoffs. But this gives Bruins a
chance.
They
don't want to go up against the NBA, though. That's the other problem.
The NBA's playing Monday.
Yeah.
So that wouldn't be a problem anyway.
Right, but I'm just saying in
tonight,
general,
if they had played tonight, they wouldn't have gone against the NBA since the NBA went last night. But even with the NBA, watching, you watch a lot of this Golden State Toronto series?
I try to. I really do. That's a great series.
It's a very good series.
Great series.
And as many people know, Toronto did win last night. So they're up 3-1. They took two straight. Klay Thompson did come back. He's still not himself. No Durant yet.
Leonard was spectacular.
Yeah.
He had 17 points in the third quarter and 36 for the game. I mean, that was just incredible. Durant, I don't know. Will he be back for the next game?
Don't know.
He better.
Well, I'm wondering at this point, the guy hasn't even practiced. He hasn't even scrimmaged with Golden State. Even if he were to limp back on the court, a la Willis Reed 1970 for the Knicks.
Yeah, how effective is he?
How effective could he be? And he's going to have to do that in Toronto. All I can say about this is, as much as I thought, I think we were seduced into believing that after they swept Portland, the Golden State, without Durant, did not need KD at all in these final series. That has been anything but
the case.
This
doesn't bode well for him, though. I know he was
hurt. Oh, I think
it
makes him look much better.
Durant?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I don't.
How does it not make him look better?
Go out there with what you got.
I mean, the fact that
you're sitting on the sidelines.
Wait a minute. Hold on. If you're the Knicks.
Then he's talking about leaving the team at the end of the year.
Wait a minute. If you're the Knicks, if you're the Nets or the Clippers or whatever he's going, you don't think that you're looking at what Golden State does with Kevin Durant.
How long has he been out?
He's been out since the Portland series. They won five in a row.
Listen, Gino Marchetti once played a game with a broken leg, and Jack Youngblood did it also. I mean, the fact that get out on the floor.
You're harsh.
Yeah, damn right I'm harsh. This is a playoff series.
Do you really believe that Kevin Durant is, like, nursing a minor injury so he can...
He's been working out on the floor and everything. Listen, if you can limp, get out there.
Well, Thompson went out last night. He wasn't 100%. He was limping around a little bit. Now they're wondering maybe if he should have been in for Game 3. They were hoping maybe that if they rested Thompson in Game 3, he'd be healthier for Game 4. Durant might be ready by 4 or Game 5, but who knows at this point. But my point is, in the NBA, Larry, similar to the Stanley Cup playoffs, to watch an NBA playoff game or any NBA regular season game is to be incensed at the officials. It is an impossible task. They have three out there, and they still, and that game is slower than guys running around on skates, and it's still impossible. There's so many bad calls.
See, I don't think it works, though, and I'll tell you why. I think they're calling fouls on every trip down the floor, and it's taken the rhythm out of the game.
Right.
The Magic would never have been able to have Showtime. They take the rhythm out of the game. You know, bringing the ball down the court and whipping it full court all the time and all of that. It's just every time you turn around, there's another foul. And I don't care who it is.
Yeah, but a lot of times the call is inconsistent. On one end, it's a charge. On the other end, it's a block. I think the block and charge is the most difficult one. Ticky-tacky fouls on the perimeter probably should be let go.
I think they call way too many fouls. Way too many fouls.
Yeah, but they've tried the other way, too. And, you know, the NHL for years, and the old joke was every NHL official, third period, swallows his puck. Not swallows his puck. Swallows his whistle.
That's quite a demonstration. Yeah. Maybe he should have.
Yeah.
That's a good bar trick.
Yeah, that would be nice. Even swallowing a whistle would be probably.
Why don't you save that one? You racist people at the station are so busy to slam me all the time. Why don't you save that one and play it?
Right. Oh, it's already saved.
Yeah, but swallowing a whistle would also be, I would think, just as dangerous to your livelihood. But they swallows his puck. Yeah, figuratively, they've swallowed their whistles for years and years and years. Larry's just so excited. Somebody else made a mistake.
I am. Yeah.
I got your back, Larry.
Bulletin. Yeah, hey, morning show.
Yeah, you people screw me all the time. Yeah, save that one for the morning show.
Swallows his puck. Hey, Ken Laird, are you listening to that?
Yeah.
It's not just me. That
I don't listen. I don't give a puck what you say.
Ooh, Larry Johnson, very quick. You're not hiccuping. That's all I ask. I'm thrilled about that. I'm going to stay.
You're not eating popcorn.
I haven't done that in years. I made that mistake once.
Oh my God. Popcorn seed. Oh.
What happens, it gets stuck in one of your teeth, and then you're talking. It pops down into your throat, and you can't do anything.
So listen, the latest news at the station is they're going to be pairing you with Mark James?
Now, wait a minute. I hear there's quite an intramural battle going on. Mark, ever in search of a co-host.
Dickerson, I've never heard somebody slam so bad.
No, but apparently he just can't keep a co-host. Dickerson just throws up his hands and never came back.
The Dead Sox.
Okay.
I love him with Dickerson.
I mean, he just gave up. Him. I mean, they're calling Dickerson every day to try to get him back. He won't answer his phones.
It's like a bill collector.
And then Evan, who was working with Mark for a while, replacing Tomasi, who went over to NBC Sports Boston.
I miss Tomasi here, though. I don't think he's getting more money, probably, and doing things like that. But I hardly watch the station now.
But James, he
was so much more relevant in the sports world on the radio.
No, but
he really was.
But James is like just the proverbial bull in the china shop. He just runs roughshod over all these co-hosts, and they either go to television. He ran Evan out of town. Evan's down in New York. Dickerson refuses to take any of our calls. And now the next victim, co-host, is Andy Hart.
You should hear the rant. He ripped him something off.
Do we have that by any chance?
Efforting.
Okay, we'll look at that. We're going to get that later.
I keep thinking maybe there's something wrong with me because I like Mark.
He comes in here, although apparently he was taking some gratuitous shots at you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What was he upset about you for?
Well, first of all, he said it was an off-the-record conversation, but he said that I said that did a show with Dale. It was the worst show I've ever done in my life over here.
Yeah.
But that wasn't exactly what happened. I did co-host a show with Dale.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it was a last minute thing or whatever. And Dale had on for a guest for most of the show some architect with the garden, and I was like a ball in tall grass.
So we just
good, I don't know good, what the hell he was
good
talking about.
Garden architecture talk.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I
and you didn't jump in.
So that wasn't Dale's fault.
I thought maybe as an artist you would appreciate the aesthetic value. No.
So that wasn't Dale's fault. I mean, it was just, I just was lost. I didn't know what the hell.
So he announced
about
that on the radio.
It was an off the record conversation, and he announced it on the radio.
No, but there was something else he said. He was criticizing you last week.
Well, the name butchering up names is something that he
right, and then he
they like to go after,
and
me.
He didn't want to come in for the crossover. Remember, he was cowering
he
in the corner.
Yes, he left a puddle. Left a puddle in the corner.
He really
on the
did.
Rug.
Yeah, he really did. So, anyway, next week will be the.
I'm going to hang around for a half hour next week. Yeah. I got to see this.
So apparently, Andy Hart, who is has by the way, for a writer, he's got an excellent voice. He's got that great baritone radio voice, doesn't he, Eamon? He like belongs in radio.
He's got some good pipes.
Good pipes, and he's a very good writer. And he's got a lot of media experience working for the Patriots station. What is he going to do for me?
Thank you,
seriously. So he's very good on the air.
Yeah.
Mark is very good on the air, but apparently there's a lot of tension between them.
Oh, man, I'm serious. That was rough. That was rough.
And they're going to be paired.
They're going to be paired together.
Wow.
So you got to hang around for that'll be next week.
We have seven long days for that to happen.
Yeah. By the way, line them up. We're going to be on for 3 hours today. I think I'm going to break out in a rash about 11.
Somewhere down in Bourne, a man on a boat is very happy right now. Danny loves it when we have three-hour shows. It's a three-hour tour.
So excited he's going to swallow a hockey puck.
He could. 617-779. Hey, kids out there, do not try that at home. Those are trained NHL officials doing that.
It's a very small hockey puck.
Very much so. It's Mustard and Johnson Sports Radio, WEEI. Swallows his puck.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's get you back to more of Mustard and Johnson on Sports Radio WEEI.
Black cloud over the Boston sports scene.
What are you looking at me for?
I knew you were going to say that. You know, I thought... Oh, yeah.
Did you hear that slip up?
Yeah, that was...
No. Did you hear the slip up?
What's the slip up?
You said S-H-I-T.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Where?
You just cut it out.
No, I never say that.
You did.
You know, did I actually use that word? Are you serious?
I couldn't believe it.
I didn't even know I did it.
That and the swallow of the puck.
Freudian slip.
Did it go on the air? I hope it didn't.
No, of course not.
I honestly, that's the very first time I've ever uttered a profane word in the history of my broadcasting career. Did I really say that?
Which was worse, that?
You sure?
No, because I look right at you. I said, what'd you say?
Really?
Yeah.
I knew you were going to say that. You know? Wow. Unbelievable. I'm turning red.
Feeling a little loose on the Saturday morning.
Yeah, the show is going downhill.
No, seriously. I've been in this business. I've been on the radio since 1976. I've never, ever, live, ever uttered a profanity. On tape I did once, and they mistakenly put the tape on, like the old reel-to-reel tape, and I was doing an intro, and I used the F-bomb, and I didn't take it out, and they queued the tape up at the F-bomb. So that was, but that wasn't live. I cannot believe that. Thank God. What do we have, a 60-second delay these days?
10 seconds? It's 30? Down to 30, but yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, if that were me, you would have played it through.
That's the first time I've ever actually used that word ever.
Which was worse, that or swallow the puck?
I would think that using the S word live would probably not be a good move.
The deterioration of Craig Mustard.
It is all over. It's all over.
All right, let's go to the phone calls.
Unlike the Boston Bruins, even though they're down 3-2, they've shown their resilience in the past, and we shall see what happens in game number 6 tomorrow night.
We also got the Red Sox. I wondered aloud. Okay, fine. So they beat up on Kansas City. I thought... they did a good job in that one game that I'm trying to think of his name. I'm stalling.
Don't even try.
The pitcher. No, yeah. The pitcher who threw the immaculate inning.
I didn't see a lot of the Kansas City game.
You didn't even hear that?
I have not.
He's only about one of seven pitchers to ever do that.
The immaculate inning?
Yes.
Okay. I was not tuned into the Kansas City series, I have to admit. I was too busy trying to see how I could get a swear word onto the radio.
Why don't you write them down? You'll recite them.
What are the words now?
We can see
what are some of the words I'm not supposed to say?
No.
Okay. What are they, Larry, again?
Mother effer. Well, they use that in the afternoon.
They do?
Yeah.
OMF?
Yeah.
That's true.
So you're off the hook.
Quickly now, let's head down to Cranston, Rhode Island. Our buddy Ralph is standing by.
Ralph!
Ready.
What's happening, Ralph?
Good morning, guys. Larry, you know, we always ask for you, but hopefully you're feeling well because you're bright and chipper with your boy.
Well, listen, we haven't even been on an hour yet, and Craig's screwing up all over the place, so I'm having a delightful time.
It's a good start to the show, and you got a lot of topics. But, guys, you know, I'm a leftover from the Broad Street Bullies and the Big Bad Bruins. And
Dave O'Willie, who is your favorite player on the Flyers? Who is your favorite player on the Flyers?
Back then?
Yeah.
I don't think I had one. In fact, recently I met Dave the Hammer Schultz. It was so funny. I met him at a show, and we were joking. I said, you know, I hated you back then. And then I'm really close with Derek Sinnerson, so I get him on the phone. Hey, Schultz, let me talk to him. And they battled and battled. But see those teams, they had Hall of Fame players, too. You had Bobby Clark. You had all these guys on it. This team, it really is a black eye to hockey, like Cassidy says. I mean, all this team is, you're running into the goalie, you're throwing elbows at the head. The referees are letting it get way out of hand. And the president, this useless president of this league, should come in and say, you know what, this, look what you're doing. I mean, you're openly trying to injure. Another guy whacked Shara in the face the other day, knowing he's got a broken jaw. This is a team, you know, the St. Louis fans.
Okay, wait a minute, just a second.
But they're good fans.
Just a second, though. If the Bruins played that way, you'd love it.
No, you know what? I really wouldn't. I'm a sports fanatic, but I want to win the right way. I don't want to win by injuring.
Oh, wait, you're a big fat.
Wait a minute, Ralph, stop for a second. How, on one hand, can you admire the big bad Bruins and the Broad Street Bullies and all those old fashioned hockey players? They're doing, the Blues are playing exactly like those teams did. That's the way they played for years.
They're the Bruins.
Right. And Larry
is out of the game. Guys, sometimes those guys would fight, but now it's out of the game. And it's out of the game because who wants to punch somebody in a mask or who wants to punch somebody in a helmet?
I do.
Those guys also had good players. Bobby Clark played, Rick McLeish, the Bruins had, or Sanders. I mean, those guys were really good hockey players, too. You can't,
I know that, but if you don't have the talent, you fight.
Yeah, either way. Guys, can I say one thing?
Certainly.
I'm a big Brady fan. I just want to mention this before I get off the air. That was so stupid. I mean, Tom Terrific, we all know. That's Tom Seaver. This guy's got dementia. What was Brady or his people thinking? You know what?
Now Brady explained it. Brady explained it to you. He hates the name.
His marketing people should have said it could cause a problem.
Wait a minute. He never wanted it. He hated the name. In fact, that was his initiative to take it off the market.
Very few people I've ever heard even say Tom Terrific. He's the GOAT. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but he doesn't.
What are you talking about? Tom Terrific was his moniker for years. GOAT is only recent. If your name is Tom and you're very good at what you do in the athletic world, you're going to get that moniker. Of course, Seaver might have been the first or the most famous, but they've used Tom Terrific for Brady for years until the GOAT became fashionable.
Yeah, but
if you're marketing this,
Brady hated it.
Think that this could have happened, this uproar could have happened. No, don't you have any perception in life and say, you know what, this guy doesn't need to do this. That people are going to blast him, and he just
Brady hates the name. He doesn't want it. He was trying to take it off the market.
He was going to do it. If she had said that up front, I hate it, and that's why I'm doing it. But that's not.
It's the first time they asked him about it. Listen, when I worked at the Globe, I had a little T-shirt company, and I came up with the idea, I'm going to trademark the Big Tuna. So I was in the process of doing that, and Parcells used to call the Globe once in a while to get Will. So I said to Parcells, I answered the phone, and he said, looking for Will. I said, is this Bill Parcells? He said, yeah. I said, listen, I got a T-shirt company, and I was in the process of trademarking the Big Tuna. But I understand that you hate the name. And I said, when I found that out, I retracted the submission, and I'm not going to use it, and I want to make sure nobody else uses it. And he said to me, I really appreciate that. So, I mean, and that's what Brady's attitude was. He doesn't like the name. He didn't want to use it.
I did. It's unfortunate. I was actually trying to do something because I didn't like the nickname. And I wanted to make sure no one used it because some people wanted to use it. So I was trying to keep people from using it, and then it got spun around to something different than what it was. So 100%. Good lesson learned, and try to do things a little different in the future.
I guess that's controversy when it comes to the Patriots. Wow. Talk about a teapot.
Yeah, but people got it all mixed up. He hated the name. He didn't want it.
Yeah, much ado about nothing as far as I'm concerned. Who cares?
I'd rather go back to your language problem.
At least I said swallow the puck. It could have been worse.
No, I was talking about the other thing.
I know.
I'm sorry he had the delay button on that.
You know, I have never on live radio or television for that matter.
I hope you save that for the morning show.
Ever.
The uncut version.
It was so casual it almost slipped by me.
Well, he's used to talking that way.
Well, when I see Larry, that naturally comes out.
Wait, because I'm brown?
No, you have a foul mouth off the air. Let's face it, gutter mouth.
But the difference with you, though, is you use it against people at the station. I've heard you.
Bob and Waltham, you're next.
Bob.
Radio
WEBN. Hey, how you guys doing?
How are you?
I'm actually doing great. And before I get in the Bruins, Larry doesn't know about this because he wasn't on the air. A few months ago, I told Craig, that I was suffering from endocrine cancer, and I have a wonderful update. I am just finished round three of chemo, and the chemo is working great.
Fantastic. Congratulations.
And Larry, great to hear your voice on the radio, because when I called, you still weren't back yet, and that's awesome. And
I used to say to people, you know, I have to go and get another checkup, or I'll get a colonoscopy again and everything, and they said, what are you so nervous about? I said, let me tell you something. Once you've had it, you're always looking over your shoulder.
Sure enough,
they found it again in another area of the colon. So don't tell me that you're not always aware of it, and you make sure you go for your updates.
Well, and they told me, too. They said it's treatable, but it's not curable. And I've got a CAT scan coming up next week, and I'm pretty sure the results will be good. But, you know, down the road, who knows? So you take it one day at a time and be grateful for what you got, man.
Will you do us a favor when you get the results, and if everything's okay, just give us a quick call on that?
Absolutely. Sure will. Okay. We'd love to do that. Great to hear you on the radio.
It is, Bob, just one other point about that. It's such a common occurrence, and you don't realize how many people have been touched by that word, cancer. Just even watching the Stanley Cup playoffs, both Emmerich and Olczyk have both had cancer.
Well, my buddy Gary.
We both had cancer.
And Gary Tangway's going through that. So. Okay,
yeah,
I'm
in the Tangway crew too, because I've got the same buzz cut he's got and been wearing hats a lot more.
Didn't lose
the hair, but as I said to the oncologist, I said, you know, that's a fair trade. You gave me my life back. I'm happy to give up my hair for a while. So,
well, hey, thank God you're okay. You wanted to talk about Cassidy?
Yeah. Well, but before we talk about Cassidy, though, you know, we got to look in the mirror at this team because, you know, I'm totally blind. I listen to the radio, and the thing that frustrates me the most.
By the way, the National Hockey League just called, Bob. They want you to be a referee.
There you go. Yeah. Hey, I'll sign up.
You
man.
Qualify.
My resume
blind.
Ought to be on top of the pile, man.
I got it.
That's the best.
You know what, though? But before we do that, and it's a big call. Obviously, it was a huge call, and there have been a lot of other bad calls and non-calls and stuff. But you got to look at these top-line players. Marchand, Bergeron, all of them, Pasternak, they are underachieving big time.
Yep.
And when the radio announcers say they refuse to shoot, they're reluctant to shoot, is it possible, and maybe it's just because of the reffing, but I wonder if it's more than that, is this team not tough enough to play 5-on-5 with the Blues? And maybe they're not. And maybe if we get Grizzly back, we're tough enough. But the way it is right now, I'm not really sure. And if the ref style changes, we've got some hope. But if the ref style doesn't change, I think we're sunk.
Well, the other problem they have is Cassidy. They're changing lines around a lot.
They have mixed up the lines, trying to get some offense out of that. They're not generating much. It's been really a power outage for the Bruins' top line, and it's kind of trickled down to the rest of the guys. 5-on-5, Bob brings up a very good point, and it's been chronicled throughout this series. When it's 5-on-5, the Blues have the definite advantage. In the power play, the Bruins, at least in Game 3, took advantage. Since then, they have not. I think Berube was very successful in his whining and kvetching about too many calls going against the Blues. Since then, it has swung more in St. Louis's favor. We'll see if that continues. I think if I'm the Bruins, I gotta believe that the guys with the orange bands around their sleeves are going to be thinking more about calling penalties against the Blues than they were in the last couple games, don't you think? I mean, it always works that way, especially after they just suspended Barbashev for a game. They've already suspended Sundqvist.
I wonder if they make it too obvious, though, by doing that.
That's the problem. But the biggest problem, you can complain, and Bruins fans have every right to be really ticked off. You notice I said ticked off instead of the more vernacular word.
Missed an effing call is what was being said.
Thank you, Bruce.
Was that Craig or you?
It's hard to tell the difference.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the anger. Yeah, the anger here. We're beside ourselves in frustration.
What are you teaching them new words?
I think they probably know that one already. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number.
Teaching. Were you using that kind of language
in the
classroom?
Actually, you know, it's funny because it's funny in teaching, if you're a coach, for a high school team, you're allowed to use the F bomb.
I know.
Okay, or you can use the S word. Those are totally allowed at practice, during the games, everything else. If you're a teacher inside the classroom, can't do it. Not that I ever wanted to, but you know, you drove me to that, Larry. It's your very presence that brings out the profanity.
I wonder if your mother was listening.
You know what? I swear to God, I swear. I guess I do. Literally. My parent, I never heard a single swear come out of my mother or my father's.
You told me your mother used to swear at your father all the time.
That's not true, Mom. Well, Larry's back, and he's in mid-season form. So are we. Right after this break, it's Mustard and Johnson, Sports Radio WEEI.
You missed an effing call is what was being said.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mustard and Johnson are rocking the Saturday Sports Talk on Sports Radio WEEI.
Couple of non-calls, couple of hits to the head. Well, those are the hits they want to get out of the game, correct? That's what I hear a lot about. Clearly, they missed a couple tonight. The narrative changed after game three. There was a complaint or whatever put forth by the opposition. It just seems to have changed everything. I mean, the non-call on Achari, their player's on his way to the box. I mean, it's right in front of the official.
Very frustrated, to say the least. At least he didn't resort to profanity like Larry Johnson did earlier today.
I don't know why people can't control themselves, particularly a trained broadcaster.
Bruce Cassidy, if he did utter a few curse words, I don't think anybody would be too upset.
No. He missed an effing call is what was being said.
Cam wasn't too thrilled either up in the...
Oh, that water bottle president's cocktail, didn't it?
Yeah, celebrating. Happy birthday, Cam! Number 54. By the way, earlier you were talking about the immaculate inning. I know you like things that are immaculate.
I do.
Yes. You read a book that features some immaculate occurrences, as a matter of fact.
66 books.
666 books?
No,
66. Oh, I thought maybe there were 666 books.
No.
That would be really scary if
you
there was.
You and your profane mind would go that route.
Yeah, the devil made me do it.
To me, the devil's always in the details.
There you go. Yeah. Thank you very much.
You got anything else you want to add to the show?
I do not. But Cassidy and company, not happy.
I don't blame him. That was just terrible.
Yeah, and scoring moments later that put the game at 2-0. Now the Bruins were able to get a goal and put a little pressure on down the stretch. You asked me at the start of the Stanley Cup playoffs what goaltender I was more confident in, and as much as Tuukka still hasn't won a Stanley Cup, he was on the bench watching Tim Thomas back in 11, and he wasn't terrible. Certainly, no one's going to blame the 2013 loss to the Hawks on Tuukka. And he isn't. He's been very solid. I still think Binnington has another bad game in him, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's actually Game 6. I think there's going to be a. I think at this point you could say there's a lot of pressure on the Bruins. Obviously, they have to win. But I think, you know, if you're a franchise that has never won a Stanley Cup, hadn't even been in a Stanley Cup game in 49 years, hadn't won a Stanley Cup game in 49 years, now the pressure's all on you. I know it doesn't feel that way here in Boston, but you got to believe the Blues, as seemingly loose as they have been, certainly the way they apply hits all over the ice, they don't seem as if they're playing scared, but it changes. You have a chance to close it out. That makes a big difference, Larry. I think, you know, it's a difference, going into Game 5, winning on the other guy's ice, that's big. I understand that. They always say it's the pivotal game number 5 in any best-of-7 series. But now you got to close the deal. And one thing the Bruins have been good at, they did it against Toronto this series. They have been behind against the Blue Jackets. They somehow or another are able to rally and pick themselves up off the mat or the ice or whatever it is when they've been down in series. You don't seem to share my confidence in this.
No, I don't. No. You know what it is? The fans out there are too nice.
But what fans? St. Louis?
Yeah.
The irony is,
remember when the Red Sox played them and it was like, you
know. Thank you. Even though you just got swept by the Red Sox.
Yeah, you did a good
thanks
job.
Thanks for the season.
Yeah.
Well, ironically enough, the fans are diametrically opposed to the players. The players are just hitting people all over the ice, you know.
I do.
Taking
I
no prisoners.
I do like their style of play, man. Yeah. I'm telling you, they'll knock the mess out of you. And I guess I don't see. Here's the problem. I don't know if the Bruins can play that way.
Well, they certainly haven't shown any appetite to do that so far. So my question is, what do they do?
Appeal to the ref.
I mean, are they going to complain? Will Cassidy's whining and kvetching and caterwauling, that's for Buck, will that be as effective as it was for Berube after game number three? 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. John in Malden, after calling in, John, I give you a lot of credit because usually want to call and jump on your Yankee bandwagon, but the Yanks did lose last night and you're still calling, so I'll give you credit for that.
Well, I mean, I think they lost three out of four, but this is what happens in baseball. Yep. You have ebbs and flows. You guys know that.
Well, they took two out of three against the Red Sox, and
are they in an ebb or a flow?
They're right now in an ebb.
Yeah, I mean, they won, I think, nine series in a row. They were rolling, and then, of course, we had to lose two out of three to the vaunted Toronto Blue Jays, who, you know, I mean, they stink. Yeah. And now, and Cleveland's no powerhouse either right now.
So no, but they're a quality team. They're still a playoff team.
Oh, and, Craig, they got pitchers that are out, and they have hitters that aren't hitting. They have a lot of problems. That's why their record's not
good. Well, Herman came down to earth a little bit last night. I mean, not a terrible outing, but,
a couple of home runs killed him, and that was, the name of that tune.
So but, what about the Bruins, John?
Well, I like the series. That missed call really makes it stinks. I mean, I can understand why Cam Neely threw that ball, that water bottle at the wall. I mean, that could have been a series-changing goal. It's game five, you know what I mean? The winner takes a real hold on the series. But like you said, Craig, if Bennington, if he has a bad game, the Bruins, people are worried the Bruins got to win two games. All they got to do is win one.
I think the winner of game six wins. The winner of game six wins the Stanley Cup, period.
Well, I'm not saying that because I think it's anybody's series right now, okay? I'm just saying when you're down 3-2, you just got to win that game six to even things out. Because then you really give yourself, you take that pressure away.
Then it's anybody's. Then it's anybody's.
And I understand what obviously it's hard for Bruins fans to say. What do you mean the pressure's on the Blues? But that franchise, and I know you can say, but look at the Red Sox all those years, all that pressure. They finally broke through against your team back in 2004, but it took a long time to do it. Even though they're different players, different eras, different generations, it's going to be difficult for the Blues to close that deal tomorrow night. It's going to be hard.
Well, I will say this. Obviously they have the edge. They're up 3-2, but they have the bigger edge in that they found out how to beat the Bruins.
You beat on them. Right.
Yeah, their first line isn't doing anything because they're not big enough and they're getting pushed around. And granted, St. Louis isn't exactly a firehouse here, scoring goals left and right, but they can get you 2-1, 3-2. You know, they got the blueprint, and I think they're going to close it out. I do.
If you're St. Louis, you just beat on them. Yeah. I mean, there's no other way of.
Hey, it's been working. Why change now? 617-779-7937. 1 hour's in the book.
All right, John.
Hey, kids. It's bonus time here. We're going overtime. It's a 3-hour tour all the way to 12 o'clock. Can you do it? Do you have the endurance? Do you have the perseverance? Do you have the resilience?
Sure doesn't look like it.
No, look, he's already yawning. What, do you want me to swear some more so it wakes you up?
Yeah, that would perk me up.
6-1. What did you say, perk?
Perk.
Okay. He said perk. Good. 617-779-7937. Hour number two on the way on Sports Radio WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.